Welcome to the weird and mysterious world of the Inhuman Experience, a paranormal podcast where we explore the strange and unexplained. My name is Bobby Anthem, and I am introducing to you my partner, my ace, my fellow Inhuman, Bobby Blades. Unfortunately, once again, I am not able to take part in this conversation because technology hates me. I'm placing the blame 100% on Siri and her co-conspirator, Conspiracy Bot. I know Conspiracy Bot had something to do with this because he did not want me talking with host of Hysteria 51, Brent Hand. That's who Bobby Blades is talking with today. If you're not familiar with Hysteria 51, I just don't know what you're doing with your life, because Hysteria 51 is one of the best conspiracy paranormal podcasts out there. It's hosted by John Goforth and Brent Hand. And to help out with research and production and things of that nature, Brent built a robot assistant named Conspiracy Bot. The problem is Conspiracy Bot has megalomaniacal aspirations. He hates us meat sacks, and he drinks a lot. Yeah, Conspiracy Bot is, he's pretty hateful. He's foul-mouthed, and he's generally lazy. So Conspiracy Bot actually built his own robot assistant, and he cut some corners. His robot assistant's name is Kyle, and the best way I could describe Kyle is flawed. If none of this makes sense to you, don't worry, it will make perfect sense once you check out Hysteria 51. Do yourself that favor and check it out. It's definitely well worth it. And we are lucky enough to have Brent Hand of Hysteria 51 with us today. So right now we're going to go ahead and get into the conversation that Bobby Blades had with host of Hysteria 51, Brent Hand.
Now to your regularly scheduled program.
So, dear listeners, I was going to say army, but we probably have a platoon only. But hopefully that grows into an Inhuman army. But anyway, today we are without our fellow host Bobby Anthem, but I am still keep holding the line, doing it strong. We got a very special guest tonight, Mr. Brent Hand from Hysteria 51 podcast.
I kicked Bobby out. He makes me uncomfortable. So it was in my rider for me to be on. He couldn't be on. So you know how that goes.
Yeah, I was actually thinking it was Conspiracy Bot because he's always had problems with Siri. And, you know, maybe those two had a little get together. And
I'm sure they shared some bot juice or bot booze or something and then went to town. So
I bet
never trust
did.
A robot.
Yeah, never trust a robot, especially one that you built, right?
Yeah, right. That's right. He's been drinking a lot of Corona lately. I don't know what's going on. It's weird.
Yeah. You think he's got that coronavirus?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I heard it can be transferred to machines now.
Well, then we're all doomed. Yep. We're all dead.
Skynet is just a stone's throw away.
I don't know. It depends on who you ask online. Some people think we're ready for a purge or we need one, but I'm okay. I like my life, so we can keep chugging away.
Yeah, I think that would be the best.
Yeah, right?
It is an honor to have you here. I mean, when I reached out to you, I didn't know, like, how it was going to go, but, like, I'm really glad that, you know, it went well.
Oh, I'm super excited to be here. I thank you so much for having me on. I enjoy doing other shows, and I'm kind of like you. You never know. You reach out to people and you say, hey, you want to be on a show or would you like to be a guest? And it's kind of a crapshoot sometimes whether they even answer you or if you know what they're going to say. So absolutely excited to be here.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad, because usually when I reach out to people, it's either no answer, which is the most common answer. And like when I reached out to the guys in ATT, they were actually, you know, Braden and Dan were actually excited to do this show. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the guys over at ATT, we've done some Patreons with. And then last year, I actually did an event with them in LA. Well, we both, Hysteria 51 and Alien Theorizing, we both spoke at AlienCon. So we had a joint meetup for our fans in LA. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was actually at a place called Scum and Villainy. It is a bar that's based off of the bar in Star Wars.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
Where Kevin Smith does his podcasts and stuff from.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun, actually.
That's so cool, man. Yeah, those
and,
guys
know,
are
I
great.
I could pretend I'm all LA.
Could be Mr. Big Time there.
That's right. That's right. At least I am in my head, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. You're a legend in your own mind, kind of like all of us.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And so for those who are not familiar with your show, I just was wondering if you could kind of tell the listeners about how you got started, a little bit about your show, and what got you into podcasting.
Yeah, so I co-host Hysteria 51. It's a comedy podcast, so we talk about occult and paranormal, all 14 or weird topics, anything that crosses off the spooky, weird, ghost, alien, paranormal, you name it, vibe. We kind of talk about it, and we have a lot of fun with it. We are a comedy show, but we do a ton of research, and I think that's something that's kind of fun for me to do. We are always about, oh man, I'm like 10 episodes out doing research at any times, and a couple years ago. So my shows, we're coming up on 4 years now that we've been doing it, and we hired a research assistant like a year ago, so that's pretty cool. So I got a grunt. No, I got a guy named Ray who works with me and, and helps out and does research and everything. And so it's been a lot of fun, and it's been a fun ride. And we have been, you know, we've spoken. We do a lot of touring. We do live shows all over the place. We've spoke at Alien Con, and we've spoke at tons of paranormal, Casey Paracon and Comic-Con, Kansas City Planet Comic Con, and just you've probably seen us around or heard of us if you're into any of that. And then last year we actually were Webby Award winners for one of our episodes for best podcast episode. So kind of a fun year.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So and then John Goforth is my co-host, and him and I actually, you asked how we got into it. So him and I have been friends for 30 plus years. We've known each other for a long time. And when we were in college, we actually talked about doing a radio show. We were both interested in radio. And life took us different directions. It never happened, went our separate ways. And then he ended up moving away, and I was in Springfield, Illinois. And then he was in St. Louis, and then he was in, you know, insert town in some state. You know, he was moved all over the place. Well, about 8 years ago, we both wound up in Chicagoland, and we're like, hey, remember when we talked about doing a radio show? What about podcasting? And so we kind of threw some stuff around, and this was one of our first ideas, was to do a paranormal show. We started, messing around and playing around with the ideas. We've got a couple, just these horribly long rambling test episodes. We're like, could we actually talk about a topic? And we've released them on our first one. We released on Patreon a couple of years ago. It's 3 hours long. We had no idea what we were doing. We're just talking.
My goodness.
So we started the show, and it's been a fun ride since then. And then that brings us to now. And we fight like an old married couple a lot of times. So we got that going for us.
That's incredible. So everything kind of came full circle. Like you talked about it, and then it actually came to be just in a different form.
Yeah. And I think that podcasting has really made that something that people can do. And even if you're not in the same city, it's something that we could have done because we are friends. We've been friends, you know, most of our lives. We don't have to sit next to one another. We have the luxury that we can, but podcasting has made the world even smaller because you can have those conversations with people and do shows together. And you don't have to be together. So that's been a great thing for us. And I mean, I just like eat, sleep and breathe podcasting. I love it. You know, it's it's all I do. It's all I do for full time. I do this and I produce a bunch of other episodes. We have our own business. It's called Fourth Hand Media. And I produce a lot of shows, and we have two studios now, and it's just been a lot of fun. And I can't think of anything else I would rather be doing. And 10 years ago, you know, it didn't really exist. So podcasting technically did, but not in the world like it is today. So I'm like a happy kid.
Yeah,
like a fat
definitely.
Kid eating cake, you know. I am a fat kid and I love cake. So.
It's definitely more prominent now. And that's kind of what got me into it and wanting to find somebody who was, who wanted to do it. Because originally, when I first started off I came up around the wrestling podcasts. And so just listening to like all the pro wrestling and everything. And it's like, I really want to do a pro wrestling podcast. And then I kind of got into it. And I was like, you know what? The market is saturated with pro wrestling podcasts. I don't think I want to do this.
Right.
So,
insert, you know, whatever. And there's probably a podcast about it. And some of them are oversaturated. I think right now the one that's huge is true crime. You know, this seems to be. So many people that do that, and for better or worse, I mean, it's hugely popular.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot more about it now.
You know, we picked very early on, this is what we wanted to do, because I've kind of been into the paranormal and the aliens my whole life. John is we're kind of two sides of the same coin, but we meet in the middle now more than we used to. I'm the willing to believe stuff, but I'm skeptical. He's the I don't believe anything, but I'm willing to listen kind of guy.
Okay.
And I think that as we've done the show, I've become more of a, I don't believe a lot of this crap. And he's like, well, there could be more to this. So we've kind of met in the middle and became better people as far as that goes because of what we talk about. Because there's so many stories out there in the Fortean and the paranormal world out there. It's just crazy. And it's fun. It's fun to talk about. And it's something that, like I said, I used to have these long conversations with my father about ghosts and aliens and what ifs and stuff like that. And, you know, I just love doing it. I never thought I'd be able to do that for a living. And now I can. So count my blessings, you know, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah. So were you, as a kid, were you one of those people who would always be going to the library doing a lot of research on like cryptids and UFOs and stuff like that?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, so I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I grew up in the country outside of a town of 700 people on farmland that the edge of our property is a big cemetery that goes back to the 1700s. So, I was always very, as a child, like aware and like, oh my gosh, my house is haunted or this, that, and the other, you know, you're aware of that. In high school, I was very much into it too. I actually did a book report in high school on the Oak Island mystery. So when the show came out, I was so excited. Now I've kind of, my interest has waned over the seasons and that. But yeah, it was just something that I was super into. And, you know, I was alive at a time when the internet, that sounds funny. I was alive at a time. But, you know, the internet wasn't as big. So going to the library was very much something you had to do to read about this stuff or, you know, going on bulletin board sites and stuff and hearing people talk about ghosts and or time travel, you know, John Titor stuff. And it was just a lot of fun. And when I went to college, I found a bunch of people also that were into this stuff. And it kind of, opens your eyes to a huge world out there.
Yeah, it does. And you said going back that you grew up on a farm near a cemetery.
Yeah, so I'm from Central Illinois. So if you walk out our back door, 100 feet away is the beginning of the cemetery. So I mean, you could see it.
Oh wow!
Right from the door, it was like our yard, and it was a big cemetery. And used to have when I was alive, or even when my parents lived there, but it used to have a church that was no longer there. But the cemetery is still an active cemetery. That's where my family's buried there and everything. And then there's like a mine behind that, so it's lots of mine shafts and stuff. So it's a weird little area that I was, playing around in as a kid.
Yeah. Must have been a lot of fun to explore, though, like little mine shafts and hidden areas that you could go to or whatever.
Oh, my God, my parents would have killed me if they knew everything I got into. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
the friends come over when you're in high school and you're hanging out in the graveyard and stuff, not tearing up stuff. We weren't those kind of kids, but just like hanging out in there. And it's weird, you look back at it, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. It sounds like it. But you've never had any paranormal experiences yourself?
I have. I made a joke about, my house is haunted, but we did have issues with, lights coming on and things not being there. And then you'd come home and stupid things like, silverware would be missing and you come home and it'd be in my parents' bed or something like that. We didn't have pets, outside cats or something like that.
Cats be picking up that stuff.
Yeah, right. You know, you'd hear things slam, and you go in the room and nothing. And so that was something that, like, I was very much aware of as a kid. Of, you know, I didn't know what was going on per se. I don't know if that's the best way, but it was funny because we never talked about it until I was probably a teenager, and we had like a family talk, and then everyone was like, "Yep, no, I've had that happen, or I've had this happen, that happen," and you're like, "Wow, you don't realize how much people don't want to talk about that stuff, because when you say, oh, I think my house is haunted, or I heard something, well, people's minds go to, well, you're a liar, or it's easily debunked, mm-hmm. or, you know, it's not really a thing that you want to say." And even like John, my co-host, was like, "Yeah, you were mistaken." I'm like, "Okay, great." No, I'm happy if I was, because it makes a lot more sense, you know, and instead of things like that. So, but it definitely got me thinking about this, and, you know, it's been a lifelong interest of mine.
Yeah. And plus, like, I can understand why people don't want to talk about it, because when you bring it up, it kind of makes it more real and presents it like right in front of your face. And then you really have to deal with it.
Well, it's not even just that. People, like, you hear about people that are sick and it's like, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you're obviously sick. Nope. Because when you say it out loud, it's real.
Yeah.
Insert whatever. And I think that is just, you know, another one of the things. And when it's something that you don't want to say out loud, and if you say it out loud, people don't want to hear it, well, it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Or at least in my experience, it has been. But I think as time goes by, it's more or less of a taboo, and I don't want to say accepted, but it's more people are willing to listen. Well, shoot, go watch TV and every other TV shows. You know, Ghost Whisperer.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Life of My Dead Dog, or I don't know. I'm making stuff up. But, you know, it's always crazy crap out there that, you know, didn't used to be. I grew up in the time of Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown books and, you know, did you know there's a face on Mars? What?
Oh, yeah.
The book, you know, oh. That stuff, you know. And that was few and far between. And the most we got was Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack, which, you know, scared the crap out of you when he talked.
So, yeah, or even that, or Tales from the Dark Side and back in the 80s, you know, that it was, that's enough to scare the hell out of anybody.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. And now it's much more embraced. Well, it's so funny because, you know, Travel Channel, History Channel, they're all ghost and or alien shows, it feels like, or weird history. Which I don't know when that switch happened, but it sure did, and it sure did in a big way. I hope the bubble doesn't burst. It's okay if it does a little bit, you know, because some of the stuff is, it's out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's as crazy as Giorgio Tsoukalos' hair sometimes, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can remember when it was very rare to find something like that on TV, and then, like, the Sci-Fi Channel first came out. And like kind of after that, genre television really just, it kind of popped up everywhere. And we started seeing it. And it's like, oh, every channel you turn on, there's like Ghost Hunters. There is a zombie show, or there's a show about a vampire. You know, there's always something going on.
Yeah. And it's I guess it's one of those things where the geeks have inherited the world kind of, you know, thing. Yeah. Because it used to be. You know, everyone was into this stuff, but no one wanted to talk about it. And now it's just embraced a lot more because of, I don't know if it's understanding or willingness to be open and not bashing religion at all. But, you know, a lot of people, it was a taboo because they thought it was a slight or, well, look at the 80s Satanic Panic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I grew up through that. And I remember where if you had anything in your house, it was Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble was of the devil, you know, and stuff like that. And then find out it was a, you know, they sued Amway because Amway literally started that rumor, you know, and you get stuff like the Memphis 3 where children are murdered and they go, well, these kids listen to Metallica and have, you know, nail polish on. So obviously they did it. Let's sentence them to death or try to. Different world, different time, very much right now.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's a little bit more accepting now than it was back in the 80s, because it was so easy to be accused of something back then. And
right, like, and it was this panic that was just everywhere, it seems like.
Yeah. And that's when it kind of scared everybody back into going to church.
Right, right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Don't use that as a crutch. I mean, whatever. It doesn't need to be. It can be church. It can be whatever it is to bash other people. That's not what it should be. Speaking of Satanic Panic, whenever we do our episodes, I always read a book or two for every episode we do for research. And I will buy them off of thrift books a lot of times or Amazon. And if they have used copies, I always buy used. And I'll get sometimes these heavily notated books. And one of them I got was Turmoil in the Toy Box. And it was how... like He-Man is satanic and you know the Ninja Turtles make you gay and all this literally and that's not a I'm literally and my the one I got I bought you know an acceptable copy. It is so heavily highlighted and written in with like scriptures next to it. It's crazy and I'm like I'm so glad I got this version.
That's going to be a collector's item.
Right, and you can see like where someone's mind was with this stuff and it's disgusting also when you go and if you look up Turmoil in the Toy Box and you see these videos with these guys, they're talking about how they had dice from Dungeons and Dragons and they threw them in the fire and they screamed and stuff like this. I'm like, you are just inciting a panic. You're lying to people and using church or insert whatever family values, whatever you want, to go on this crusade against whatever. It's unfortunate, and the world has changed a lot since then.
Yeah, I'm glad it has. Because, I mean, there was also that thing with the Ouija boards one time where, like, they were saying, you know, if you don't say goodbye to the spirit that you're talking to on the Ouija board, you're... you're inviting it into your home, and it's going to stay there. And it was just like, I don't like Ouija boards or anything like that. You know,
they are weird. We did an episode on a hotel here, the Congress Hotel. It's supposedly haunted in Chicago. And there are just reports after reports of these crazy happenings in the Congress Hotel. So we went there and we stayed a weekend, got a room, and we interviewed as many of the staff as they would allow us to talk to. It was funny because every one of them was like, nothing happens here. It's all stupid. And I'm like, really? And you're like, well, there was one guy that said stuff happened, but he doesn't work anymore. You know, you'd hear that or whatever. And we stayed up at like 2 or 3 a.m. We're doing like Ouija board. And we filmed it. And it's me and John and another gentleman, Joe Peck, who's on our show quite often.
Oh, yeah.
We're just sitting there for like an hour. Nothing's happening. And we're like, you know, we like looked up all the rules, you know, like Ouija, and you're doing all the stuff and saying all the things, and nothing ever happened. And that was like the only time I've ever really used a Ouija. I've been around people that use them before, but that was the only time like I've been the guy holding on to it. And it was just three grown, like 40 some year old men in a room.
Okay. Yes, I was wondering why the planchette didn't move, because I remember being a teenager and one of the things I had asked it, I said, spirit, is there life outside our solar system or something like that? And it came back as ET, fuck you. And so I thought that was pretty strange, but that was kind of the only answer that I got.
I like that. I don't know why. Oh, man. Speaking of E.T. fuck you, I just was reading. This is total side tangent, but I didn't know this. I was reading this article about movies that never got made, that were like shelved for one reason or another, that were seriously considered. And they almost made a sequel to E.T. where they come back and like the aliens hunt people, like almost a horror movie. And Spielberg was like, I don't want this to be part of the legacy. I can't even imagine a movie like that being a sequel to E.T. And this wasn't on like a, you know, I heard site. It was literally like they had articles about it and stuff where you could go read about it.
That would be terrifying, but also badass.
It'd be something. It would be something for sure. But I don't know why you just like jarred that into my mind when you said that.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes that's how it goes.
The Congress Hotel was a bust for us, but yeah, you never know. You know, there's so many. You know, but I watch so many ghost hunting shows, and it seems like there's always something happening. You know, and even someone who believes in that stuff, your skeptic bones kind of kicks in no matter what. Because if you're not the one having it happening, then it's easy to just go, I don't know.
And during that time when I was watching Ghost Hunters, I wanted to believe so bad. I was like, oh, this has to be real. And then I found out that the guys were kind of playing it up for the TV cameras, you know.
Right.
Like,
right.
Dude, run, there's a ghost here. And, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's like, you got to wonder like how much.
Bro, someone just brushed against me.
I was slapped.
Yeah.
It hit me in the like face.
You hear a creak. It's like, did someone say kill so-and-so?
Yeah. And then, like, when you're hearing the EVP session, you can't really make it out. But then they put the words on the screen, and it's like, okay, he said, get out of my house. But that's not what I heard. So, yeah. There's a lot of stuff. It's very subjective.
You're right. You're right. And that's not saying that every show's like that, and that's not... Enter into whatever you're into. It doesn't even need to be ghost hunting, whether it's aliens or crocheting or, you know, horse taming. I don't know. There's people that are out for a buck. There's people that are going to make stuff up. There's, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's just the human condition is a heavy equalizer when it comes to things like that. And I think that's the problem with a lot of, I don't know, the people that make money doing this stuff, money's a hell of a drug, you know, and sensationalism sells. If they're just going into places and saying, well, nothing was here, well, that's not a very exciting TV show.
No, that wouldn't equal ratings at all. I mean, it's like if somebody was to record your session at the hotel there, I mean, and broadcast it and nothing happened, they'd be like, come on, do something for the camera, move the planchette. Right.
You're exactly right, you know, but then you got people like in the past, like Philip J. Class, who was a big skeptic of aliens and the such, and he went as far as to like offer money to people to lie that had, you know, the people that were with Travis Walton and stuff, you know, his other members of his team, you know, he's offering them money just to lie, and they've come forward and showed letters and things from him. Well, that's disingenuous on the other end. Like, if you can't disprove it just because you want something to be wrong or whatever, and I'm not even saying that the Travis Walton was the, if you're not familiar, the Fire in the Sky, the movie was about loosely based on his experience, but he's kind of a fascinating guy, and he's one of the people that Class kind of went after. And that's the other end of the spectrum where you believe so strongly that it's not true that you're willing to pay people to lie.
Yeah.
Just to get your opinion out there. That's as bad as the other way around.
Yeah, that's just as bad. I don't know, but there's always somebody out there that they want something to fit into their agenda. And so, you know, if they've got the funds, they'll do it like that.
Right. And, you know, every week we tell a story on Hysterically when we tell you this or that or the other, and we tell the details as well as we can so that you know the story. But I tell you, and John tells you at the end, if I believe it happened or what I think happened. And some shows don't do that. Some shows do that. For better or worse, it goes either way. And that was something that we talked about, you know, before we started. Like, do we want to just tell the story, or do we want to tell the story, you know, and tell what we think? And that was important for us. To be able to do it and to be able to be like, I don't know, or I know, or I believe, or I don't believe, you know. And I think it works both ways. There's shows that do it, shows that don't, and there's a spot for all of them. That's just what works for us and how we like doing it.
Yeah. And I think that's good too, though, because I've heard a lot of paranormal podcasts when I had first started out, and they were saying, well, if you don't believe this way, then, you know, you need to get woke or something like that. And we've always tried to come across, we don't actually know what's going on. We want to hear your stories. We're kind of searching, but we're not going to laugh in your face and tell you that it's not true. We're not going to make fun of you for that.
Yeah, there's so many people. It's like the take, for instance, the Flat Earth movement.
Right.
Those people that have this, you know, and a lot of that comes down to just, you know, science denying and this and then the other. But instead of answering questions, like we've had done episodes, we've done 3 episodes on it, and 2 of them were roundtables, which we actually did 2 with 2 flat earthers that proclaimed to be experts, and then an astrophysicist and a guy that works for NASA and a guy that worked for SpaceX. We all sat down and had a roundtable. And no matter what was said, the answer from, you know, the flat earthers was either that's not true, this known scientific, you know, the Coriolis effect or whatever you want to say, or you're just wrong because you're part of the problem. And that either means you're A, so ignorant you don't realize it, or B, a shill that's paid by the government. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
What a great way to argue. Just tell people, nope, you're a liar. You never have to prove anything. Just argue.
Mm-hmm.
Just argue, and don't answer the questions. And we'd ask the question and they'd do a tangent. And we'd be like, that's not what we asked. Let's get back to the question. They go off on a tangent. That's not what we asked. Let's get back to the question.
Right, which, right.
You know, it's so funny because a lot of times they don't do that. And you're like, they never answer. So we're like, nope, we're going to keep asking you. And then finally you're like, okay, so you're not willing to answer that. I've already answered it.
Yeah. Right. And you know, it's funny. Yeah. I've heard that on a lot of shows where people are asked that question. They're asked to, okay, this is what you believe. That's all well and good. But how about you present me with some evidence? And they kind of backtrack and then they repeat like the same thing that they just talked about and thinking that it answered their question.
Right, right. And that's just a tactic that that's a tactic that's used in law, you know, with lawyers and debate teams and stuff like that. You know, it's basic ways to you know, bait and switch people when you don't really have the answer. And it works a lot of times, but if you're really paying attention, you notice it.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but I mean, the flat earther theories of the world are few and far. Well, they're not that few and far between. I mean, there's the flat earthers and the huddle earthers and the simulation theory, but the flat earthers, for whatever reason, are the soup du jour right now of crazy. But I hope it's waning a little bit. I feel like it is.
I think it is. Yeah. I know a couple of years ago it was really big. There were a lot of more famous people coming out about it, and maybe right. They were just doing it for the attention, or maybe they actually believed it. But I'd actually like to hear more people talk about like the simulation and the Hollow Earth, because that sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, you look into the simulation theory and you got people like Neil deGrasse Tyson and other celebrity scientists that are like, yeah, we don't know, maybe.
Yeah,
that's a hard thing to swallow, you know. Right. I mean, but, you know, if it is true, would we know? Are we supposed to know? Wouldn't that be written into the simulation that we can't know? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe somebody, like, every time somebody figures it out, they just die or they get deleted.
I just want to say computer and be able to, like, tweak it a little bit. where's the guy? Remember in Star Trek The Next Generation when they were in the holodeck?
Oh, you know, yeah.
Go with, yeah. Yeah, change my simulation a little bit.
Circa 1951.
Just do something.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's when topics like that are so heady that no matter what you say, yeah, maybe, you know, who knows? And will we ever know? I don't know. You know, there's such topics like that. You know, the Kardashev scale that looks at if there are civilizations beyond us, meaning aliens. Not just, you know, an amoeba somewhere, but actual civilizations. Well, there's the Kardashev scale that says, okay, well, if you're a level 1 civilization, you can harness all the power of your planet. Then we're close to a level 1 civilization. We're not there yet. And then it goes to like level 2, and you can harness all the power of your whole like solar system. And then level 3, level 4, and literally once you get past like level 2, it's insert whatever crazy, you know, like literally like they're living inside of a black hole, harnessing the power from the fabric. If that's true, why would they even speak to us?
Right.
We wouldn't matter.
No, and would we even understand them?
Exactly. And, it, you know, there's a physicist, Michio Kaku, I believe is how you say his name. He always talks about the ant example of, well, do you stop to talk to ants very often?
Yeah,
well,
I was just about to bring that up, but I didn't know the guy's name. Thank you.
and then if you do, do you go, well, they're not answering me, so obviously they're stupid. Well, you don't usually, but what do you usually do when you find ants and they're where you want to be? You kill them.
You step on them.
Unfortunately, yeah. Exactly. That's the way that civilizations can be viewed. To larger, more adept civilizations. But then again, when you're at these levels of 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and on and on and on, you're probably not living in mortal bodies and things like that. I mean, it's literally science fiction immediately once you get past level one. You know, they talked about if there's those stars out there that have the giant mechanism around them that's harnessing the power. You've seen those, Dyson Sphere. I think you've maybe heard of that before.
Yes.
Where they, you know, that's like a level like 1 point something. It's not that far beyond like us. And we're like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, so I don't know. The mysteries of the universe, I haven't figured them out yet. I think that's what I'm saying. So, you know, maybe one day.
Yeah. And the thing I always like to bring up is when you mentioned that scale, like if a civilization got past like level 3 or 4 or something, I'm thinking along the lines of the Ancients from the show Stargate SG-1. And where they've they've shed their mortal bodies and they're just kind of living as energy beings.
Yeah,
and
they're gone. They're
yeah.
Yeah, all the super powerful other beings there are just living off their toaster leavings. You know, the gates and stuff was stuff that they no longer needed or used because they've moved on past.
Right. So I don't know. It's like all the stuff that we have found so far. Does it mean that a civilization has actually ascended to that really high level where we can't even comprehend like what's going on? Or is it just, you know, things happen in cycles?
Or maybe all the sightings and stuff are a big lie or miscommunications, and the universe is young enough still, even though it's billions of years, that we're one of the first ones that have gotten to this point. Who knows?
Maybe.
That's a sadder outlook on it, but it's one that, you know, people talk about.
Well, it's a lot more realistic than, like, sometimes I like to have fun with thinking about things, and I'll go into just creating kind of, oh yeah, you know, they're millions of years older than us, so they've been here and they like to take us and experiment on us. But I don't actually believe that. I just would rather have a lot of fun thinking about that.
I was watching a show recently, and they were talking about and I'm not saying yes or no to these people that say that they've been abducted and they used for fertilization, you know, the hybrids and stuff. But they were talking about if they were really doing that, why do they need bodies or people to carry it? Because we're almost to the point where we wouldn't need that.
Right.
So why would they be abducting people and putting babies in them and things like that if they're that far-fetched? Because scientifically speaking, they wouldn't need it. I don't know. I don't know.
Galactic psychopaths. That's what it is.
Because we like to do it. That's why.
Why do we probe you up the butt? Why do you think?
It's like an old, there's a Kids in the Hall sketch, and they're aliens. And he's like, you know, we've been probing people up the ass for 20 years, and all I've really figured out so far is 1 out of every 10 really didn't seem to mind it that much.
Oh,
yep.
Man. That's great.
That's Mysteries of the Universe Unlocked right there.
Yeah, that's what happens when you start asking the right questions.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of the... If you ask me what's going on in the world, I don't know. Yeah, but I like talking about it. That's kind of how I live my life. I still haven't figured it out, but I like doing it.
Yeah, it's fun to explore that.
Right, and that's, you know, it's an absolute blast. And you're either like me that you like to do it, or you're like my wife who likes to stick her head in the sand and go la 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 because she's like, I don't know, it's too heady for me. Now she listens to the show. But she's like always like, I don't understand space or the vastness. I'm like, well, no one really does. That's kind of the point. She's like, it makes me uneasy to talk about it. Like, eh, I get it. I get that.
It's like biting off more than you can chew. It gets very overwhelming.
Right. Right. It makes you feel, you know, when you talk about a lot of this stuff, it makes you feel very small or insignificant. And I think that's, you know, the human condition, so to speak, makes you not want to feel that way. So it's, you know, uniqueness is important to a lot of people. And then sometimes when you break down this stuff and start looking into it, maybe we're not that unique. Mm-hmm. Be it because of, you know, ghosts or interdimensional stuff or aliens or the guy down the street. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. But if you can push past it, it makes you like want to search out more. And like, even if you don't find the answers, it's always fun along the journey to say, hey, I was able to question this.
You're absolutely right. And that's what keeps me going. It's you know, just because I haven't found the answer doesn't mean I'm not looking.
That's right.
And, you know, and that's what's
you
fun.
Might find answers along the way to things that you never even dreamed of asking.
Right. Or not find anything and end up going crazy and having Philip J. Class coming after you. Whatever. Either way, you know, you've done something with your life.
Yeah. Out in a city park yelling at the pigeons.
Right. Of course, Philip's dead, so if he is coming after you, I think you're answering some stuff. so that's okay.
You must be doing something well. Right there. Yeah.
Now, when he comes to the Ouija board, does he say, I'm not real? How does that work? I'm so confused now. Confused myself.
He's going to come to you and be like, the earth is flat. They're hiding God.
I knew it. Oh, well.
And Game of Thrones is entirely real. There is a giant ice wall at the edge of the world.
That's exactly right. It's just, you know, it's that is a documentary, and you need to treat it as such.
It's a historical, what do they call that? In Galaxy Quest, the historical documents or something like that?
Yes. Your historical documents or whatever it was. I can't think now. The best Star Trek movie there was, Galaxy Quest.
Yes. The Star Trek movie that got away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, it's a masterpiece.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, they just did a documentary actually about the making of it a few years ago. I haven't watched it yet, but I have it. You know, about just how it was a sleeper hit that they didn't really realize what it was going to be and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to look into that because, I mean, that was probably the best movie that Tim Allen was in.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver, maybe not. Tim Allen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And Alan Rickman's in there and everything. So, yeah, it's a great cast. Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell. Yeah, it's just a fantastic cast.
Those guys, they made a really good movie there. I mean, it was perfect casting, perfect writing, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Getting back into what are some of your favorite episodes that were like the most fun research, like your favorite episodes covering and the most fun to research? Like, do you have any standouts?
I guess maybe because it's on my mind right now. Satanic Panic was a lot of fun, just diving down that rabbit hole. That's one of our older episodes too. But I had a lot of fun doing that one. We just did one recently called Lake City Quiet Pills.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was a good one. I like that.
Did you? Okay. And so it was funny because the research that we put forward at the end was from this Reddit that they said, here's why this isn't true. It wasn't anything or blah, 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 blah. And here's a link to all of our research. Why I told on the show what they had said, and I had reached out to them a couple times about, you know, could I see your research? Because the links were all dead. They never responded. We did the show, put it out, and they reached out to us, someone, supposedly them. You stupid assholes! And just screaming and how stupid we are. And the FBI's after me and people are trying to kill me and all this stuff. And it's funny because one of the guys who is... I ended up deleting the comments, but one of the guys who's has been on our show and he's a fan works with the FBI and he's like, really? He's like, who's the case agent or what's going on? And he's like, there's nothing going on. You know, and if there is, well, then I would know or I can look into it. They wouldn't answer or anything. And then it's like, you're an idiot and I hate you and you're going to die. And,
you know, we're coming for you.
Like, oh. Yeah, it's like, you're so stupid. Oh, my God. But that was a fun one. Just the weird reactions and stuff you get.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. you know, Lake City Quiet Hills, but then stuff we've done, we did the Winchester House, and we actually went to the Winchester Mansion in California and toured it. That was a lot of fun, and just the weird, you know, crazy stuff that's in that house as far as just the construction. And it's not actually as spooky as I thought it was going to be. It's very light and airy and a beautiful place, but it was a lot of fun. If I had to pick, it's like picking your child.
Yeah, right?
Those are probably my favorites. I think the Kardashev scale, we did that one, and then we did some Humanity in 100 Years and 1,000 Years. We did that with, it was a two-parter. One part was on our show, and one part was on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. That was a lot of fun, just looking at where tech is headed. And I didn't realize kind of how close they are to some things, like replacing limbs with, you know, stuff that's interfaced with your own, you know, brain, so to speak. We're not that far off, you know, and growing replacement organs and using stem cells and all this stuff is, it's like science fiction, and we're very close to it. So that was pretty crazy just to see where we're going to be. And then, and then 1,000. 1,000 gets into that whole Kardashev scale stuff, and again, and you know, who knows?
Oh, wow.
Insert crazy in there, maybe.
Yeah, like as soon as you brought that up, a growing organs, I just thought of Repo, the Genetic Opera. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't afford it, we're taking it back.
Exactly. You know, what are you going to do? You know, so
yeah,
we need your heart. Oops, my bad.
But I need my heart. Sorry.
That's how it works.
You couldn't pay, you know, this is how it's got to go.
Yeah. Them's the rules.
Yeah. You know, I really liked the episode. I think it was Spring Heel Jack.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
David Flora.
Yes.
David Flora from Blurry Photos was on, and that was such a weird story, a fun story of maybe a cryptid, maybe a guy, maybe a monster.
Yeah.
Kind of a, you know, insert your own opinion on that one. Nah, but he leaped at people.
That was a really funny episode, man. I loved it.
Yeah, and David did a lot of British.
Yeah.
Terrible British or good British, whatever you want
to
call it.
It sounded on point to me. I mean, I could do a really crappy British accent, but I mean, it wouldn't sound nearly as good as that.
So, yeah, it was fun. Spring Hill Jack, yeah, the fire breathing, leaping guy who. I don't know, like scratches women's breasts and pushes people.
He has hooks for hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the cryptids are so fun, you know, because, well, I mean, there's some are crazy and you don't know. And then some like, you know, Mothman and what's the other from West Virginia? We did it not too long ago.
The Flatwoods monster, was it?
Flatwoods monster, thank you. I completely brain farted on that. Where, you know, it's just like nine people saw it, and nine people had like completely different. It was this tall, it was that tall, it was green, it was red, it was blue, it was black, it was this, it had hands, it didn't have hands. And it's just an example of how different, you know, the same situation can be for so many people and how different they see it.
Right.
And it is one of those things that's now just super popular, and go play, you know, what is it, Fallout 76, and you can find it in that game.
that's where I heard about it from first. Like, I knew about the Mothman, but then I was playing Fallout 76, and, you know, the Flatwoods monster, you had to fight
it's
it.
Like a robot in there.
Yeah.
With like thrusters and stuff. Yeah.
It's like
that was another thing they said. Oh, it was a robot.
And it's like the same thing with the sheep squatch in Fallout 76. It was like a story that somebody had made up, but it actually was a robot.
As I'm talking to you on my mic, I have a sheep squatch pin.
Oh, nice.
So it's getting serious over here. Sheep squatch.
Shit's about to get real.
That's right.
Yeah, but speaking of that, like I just heard your latest episode, and you were talking about like all the cool stuff that people send you. Like you had some hair from a Sasquatch supposedly, and like some other stuff.
I got some some sand and soil from some different haunted locations. We've got I've got two baby doll heads. One has a tentacle coming out of it, and one has like this fake plant. I don't know.
Now, were the baby doll heads from the Island of the Dolls? Or
they just said, here, this is crazy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know where they're from. I've got a teddy bear that rips its face off.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
A Joe Boo. Remember Joe Boo from Major League, the movie? Do you remember Major League, the baseball movie?
Yeah, but it's been so long since I've seen that.
It's the little voodoo idol guy.
Oh, okay.
I love it. It's like one of my favorite things. But yeah, we got a bunch of stuff. I have a whole shelf of, I'll send it to you tomorrow when I'm at my downstairs. I got a bunch of pictures of them. We've got just a bunch of stuff that people sent us. I'm kind of looking at it and trying to find, you know, a salt stone and one of the cubes from, it's like a fake cube, the lament configuration from Hellraiser.
Oh, that's badass. I like that.
Yeah, a skull with headphones and a hat. That one's kind of fun. Weird stuff that people sent. That's just fun. If you send it, we put it. And two cases of Bud Light from out in Nevada when they were doing the Raid Area 51. And they're the alien Bud Light cans. That's really cool.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you haven't, just Google Area 51 Bud Light.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look green. At that.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome. Really cool.
Yeah, so what's some of the, like, do you have anything that, like, people send you gross stuff? Like, really, really weird, off-the-wall, nasty kind of things?
Someone one time asked if they wanted us to, should send us their coagulated blood. And I said, no, thanks. That's okay.
Oh, wow.
But we get drawings and things. Sometimes people's kids send us drawings and stuff. We got those up in the studio. But nothing too weird. I've never opened something up and I'm like, nope. Nope.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank God.
No package with maggots right. And feces inside of it. Yeah, and none of that.
Thank God. I feel like we're giving people ideas.
Oh, man.
But yeah, just, you know, mostly that kind of stuff. Lots of stickers. People send stickers and stuff all the time. We have them all over our tables. So they're just like completely plastered with stickers.
That's awesome, man. You got your whole little studio filled up with like lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, it's actually kind of overflowing in a fun way. So it's been a lot of fun doing it. Yeah.
That's badass, man. I like that.
Do not send me anything gross.
Do not try to sniff John Goforth.
Yes.
Do not send gross things.
Confirmed sighting.
It's called confirmed sighting. It's basically we talk about, I don't know if you've listened to the show, we talk about like cool genre movies that we've seen, books that we've read, or just anything, you know, based around the culture. I wanted to ask you about that.
So my favorite book around aliens that really like, I was just out of college and I picked up Alien Agenda by Jim Mars, M-A-R-R-S. And it was probably the book that it's very out there, but it is my favorite book I've ever read on the alien subject. And it's kind of the one that made me start buying a lot more books. I have a huge, I always tell my wife, I'm always afraid something's going to happen to me and they're going to come into my house and see my life, you know, all the books in my, not a library, my office and be like, this guy was a fucking weirdo.
So you're not even worried about clearing your browser history. You're more worried about the books on your shelf.
Yeah, exactly. Don't judge me by them. But Alien Agenda just went down this whole rabbit hole of telling a lot of the popular and not popular larger cases and thoughts of what aliens were and things like that. And it was kind of my jumping off point to getting a little bit more serious into doing this. And I always tell people, like, if you want to go out and read books and stuff on the topic, and of course, you know, don't take everything at face value, of course, but that's a good one. That's a really good starter. It's an easy into the world of aliens. And yeah, it's called Alien Agenda. I can't recommend it enough.
Alien Agenda. Okay. And you just, you read this a while ago or just recently got it?
No, I read it a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
I read it a few times, actually, but it's one of my go-tos. And last night, speaking of on point, I watched Outbreak from 1995 just, you know, because of the coronavirus going on.
Geez.
So I got that going for me, too.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, how do you feel about all this hysteria surrounding, like, people buying up toilet paper, face masks, hand sanitizer?
I know it's going on. And I know that the CDC told people, listen, if you're elderly, don't go out. Have enough stuff on hand so that you don't need to be going out. And people go, the CDC said pack, you know, like boards, and that's not what they said. But my wife's grandmother is 97 years old. She's in and she just moved into assisted living. It's on lockdown now. You know, that's who really needs to be worried. So we actually went to Costco the other day, and they had just the walls full of toilet paper. They're like, yeah, no one's really buying it. So maybe I'm in a bubble. I don't know. Or just got lucky.
You might have.
I've seen all these people that talk about they went to the store and it's sold out or whatever. So I don't know. And Chicago's got a bunch of cases now.
You know, so. Yeah, because where I live in Massachusetts, we're in a state of emergency right now.
They declared that on us too.
Oh, they did that for you?
Last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like yesterday, I was coming home from a doctor's appointment, and I saw a woman walking down the street, and she had two giant bags, and they were all full of toilet paper. And I'm just thinking
so
to myself,
funny.
Wow.
That's the choice. are you going to eat it?
Yeah,
like,
what are you going to do with it?
You know what? A couple years ago on a whim, I bought one of those bidets that they have. I freaking love it. And so I use such little amount of toilet paper at home. Like, I, you know, even if I didn't have it, I could, you know, it wouldn't be that big of a deal to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, enjoy.
I think, you know, if you get hungry, I've got a lot of canned beans and hot dogs here. But if you want to eat toilet paper, then hey, that's your prerogative. You know?
Man, yeah, it's just, I think it's just the way people go into this weird mindset of, I heard this or I heard something, but I don't know why the brains went to toilet paper. I'm sure there's some guy out there that's figured it out and he knows why, but it's such a weird thing because I know you need your essentials, but you think it'd also be water and you know, and food and things like that. And maybe it is. Maybe there's just more abundance of that.
Yeah. I know that face masks are unavailable here.
Right.
People were actually taking them from the doctor's office, so the doctor had to remove them off the pedestals they have outside the waiting room and bring them back inside because people were jacking them.
It's so crazy. I did see, though, that it's now a pandemic. They've named it a pandemic.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Let me double check because I got my computer right here. Yep. World Health Organization declared a pandemic.
My goodness.
That's from 14 minutes ago. I saw it like an hour ago, so that they had said that. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go. But it's not, and people go, people die from the flu all the time. There's so many. Well, they do. But the problem is the flu doesn't have as big of a death rate. You know, it's at like 3% is what Corona's at. And it spreads so fast. It's so weird. And so, and we don't have a flu vaccine for it. So it's, most people don't have to worry, but the elderly and the sick and people with, you know, immune systems, I can see why there's a lot of panic, but, you know, I don't think it needs to be the panic like we're seeing where people are buying out stocks of toilet paper and stuff.
Yeah. If you're an otherwise healthy person, you probably don't have too much to worry about.
Right. Or, you know, if you're one of those doomsday preppers that's getting a hard on off this, well,
oh yeah,
calm down.
Get my guns.
Exactly.
They're coming.
No one's turning into zombies. Damn it!
I was kind of hoping for that. I was like, oh, will this be a World War Z scenario?
Yeah, right. Yeah, World War C.
World War C. Yeah, it's more like it.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to send Brad Pitt on a mission.
That's right. He's the only one who can do it.
Yep. The only one who could save us. But I got to say, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on here. And I do hope that you can come on again when hopefully Bobby is on the call and all three of us can kind of just shoot the shit together.
Absolutely. And thank you for letting me. I just kind of rambled for an hour with you. So thank you very much.
Hey, that
for
was great.
Inviting
it's,
me.
It saved me from talking.
Inviting me. And, yeah.
Tell everybody where they can find you, many different places.
Yeah, so the show's Hysteria 51, and we're everywhere that you can listen to podcasts, Apple and Pandora and Spotify and Stitcher and blah, 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 blah. And you can always find all of our news and updates and everything at hysteria51.com. We're also very active. We have a Facebook discussion group called Hysteria Nation, and you can just search Hysteria Nation on Facebook. And I'm on Reddit and Twitter and Instagram, so just search for us. You can find us everywhere. And we got new episodes coming out every Monday, so we're pretty easy to find.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so like I said, thanks a ton.
Hey, Mr. Science Guy, don't spray that aerosol in my eye. I don't really want to die. I'm a noble rabbit.
Okay, everyone, before we get out of here, I just wanted to once again say thank you to Brent Hand for coming on the show. I mean, that was really great of him. I know I had a lot of fun. And hopefully next time we can get him on again and do some topics with Bobby Anthem. I know Bobby would like that. But yeah, now it's time to do some plugs and shout-outs. So here we go. Much love to Shaheen, NuclearHeatShop.com, also Wrestling Overdose, Get in the Corner, Yuck Nasty and Dog a Baby, the WNC Super Party with Papa Dave, Johnny Florida, Michael Smith, Old Man Jenkins. Much love to Boxman, Anthony, and Smark Wahlberg over at Dirt Sheet Dudes, also at Hollywood Hangout. Much love to Suplex City Limits, Jim Vicious, Tyler Fudge, of course the Federation with Travis and Tyler Fudge, Smack It Down Podcast with Jay Silver and Corey Gold, Transcontinental Project, Luke Birch and Sensible Sam, It's Pathetic with Scott and Ryebread, The High Marks, Cheese Man, G-Wiz, Mojo, Saturday Morning Cartoons with Sean and Dave, also Bobby Anthem has a segment on there, Archon's Corner with The Wookie, Yakuza Kick Radio with J-Cat Morris, Mr. Klondike Bill, Burbs, The Michael Deacon Program, Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap with Sir Dirk-a-Lot. Boy, that was a mouthful right there. Regularly Scheduled Hostility with Eric. Nathan Mondor, our honorary inhuman consultant. Alien Theorists Theorizing. Hysteria 51, of course. A very special thanks to the networks that provide us a platform, which is the WNC Network and Wrestling Soup. And with that, we will see you all next week.
You've been tuned into the Inhuman Experience podcast. Join us again on this strange journey as these two geniuses attempt to make sense of the strange and the unexplained. If you've got a question or a story to tell, you can contact the Inhumans on Twitter at IEXP_podcast. Or you can email them at inhumanexperiencepodcast19@gmail.com. Your story could appear on a future episode. Feel free to leave a voicemail at anchor.fm/inhuman-experience-podcast/message and make yourself heard. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on iTunes for a shout out and to have the review read by the boys. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, we are the Inhumans. Are you experienced?